So I want to begin with a little story about something that happened on Friday or Thursday. I went to Virginia Mennonite Conference, and I drive a Tesla, get to Harrisonburg, and I needed to recharge. And I pulled in there, and there are Tesla chargers, but there are more and more vehicles that come and use them because there are all these different apps and systems that allow you to use, or adapters and so forth, that allow you to use a Tesla even if you're not driving a Tesla. And they're high-speed chargers, most of them. So instead of taking a couple hours, it can take 20 minutes to get adequate charge. So anyway, I'm pulling in. And there's this old guy with a brand new Toyota that's an electric vehicle, and he's taking up two spaces because his thing is on the front of the car, and he doesn't realize that there are ones that are designed for the front of the car, and you back into that. Anyway, he's taking up two spaces because that's the only way he could figure out to get in there. And I got out, plugged mine in, and I desperately needed to go to the bathroom because I had drank 2 liters of water on the drive. And so I really didn't want to stop for this guy. And but as Dorothy says, I have a big sign on my back that says, "Need help? Just ask." And so this old guy walked up to me and said, "We just bought this vehicle 5 days ago, and we're on a trip here, and we can't get into this charger." And so I listened for a little bit, and then I said, finally, "Okay, listen, I need to use the bathroom. I'll be right back out, and we can look at this." So anyway, we get talking then. Once I'm back, he's moved the vehicle over and is not taking up so much space. And then I said, "Well, what you need is you need to download an app that'll give you access to this." He hears the word app, and he sees visions of who knows what, and he says, I said, "So, you have a smartphone?" And he said, "Oh, my wife has an iPhone. Does that work?" And I said, "It should." And so she gets out of the car, and she's very slow. They're both very short steps, And as I said, it's a brand new vehicle. And what do? They're leaving on it like a 2 week trip. And it's an electric vehicle, and they don't have a clue about much of anything in terms of using it and or charging it. And so anyway, she couldn't download the app because why? She doesn't know the password for her email account. She doesn't know. And anyway, it was just a mess. And I was there for at least 30 minutes, like my car fully charged, and in the time that we were talking, and then some. It sat there for another 20 minutes. So, at any rate, it once we resolve things. And the way we resolved it is I asked them, what do you actually have? What did they give you with this car? Because apps weren't working. We couldn't get into anything. And kept trying different passwords, and they were just more and more into the clouds, not the good cloud, or not the one they needed cloud. But anyway, they were in the fog, yes. And so Anyway, what happened is that I found a solution, and that was that back in the back of the car, in an unopened bag, because it's only 5 days old, an unopened bag is a Tesla plug, but then it had adapters on the other end for, like a washer, a 240 charge, or for a regular plug. And so I pulled out the one that was in there and put the one in for the regular plug. They were only going for the night 2 miles from where we were. They had come all the way from South Carolina. Somebody had helped them up in Charlottesville, which got them this far. And now they're going to just 2 miles later. They gave me the impression that they were going a long ways, but it was only 2 miles away. That's how disoriented they were in so many ways. And so I said, okay, you get to your place there, Massanutten Springs or whatever it was called, and just plug into a regular outlet. It'll take probably 8 hours, but it may be faster. This is a brand new vehicle. So you can get through to the rest of your trip. And when you get home, take the time to get some help, or if you can find somebody, give you some help, because they couldn't get into their email, they couldn't get into anything, and didn't know how to even enter stuff on their GPS in the car, even though it was a very nice system. Anyway, needless to say, they needed help even getting out of the parking lot to go the right direction. So they followed me, and at a certain point, then their GPS kicked in and they zoomed past me and waved and so forth. But the thing is, here are these, the more we spoke, the more I felt like here we would not get along. If we were having a discussion, the two of us together, we would probably not find much common ground. They were South Carolina, relatively entrenched in there. The only sign of hope for them, in a certain sense, in my political perspective, was they did buy an electric vehicle, even at 85, 90 years old. And here they're demonstrating a great deal of flexibility, even though they're scared half to death about what's going to happen. So it turns out he's a retired pastor, and he said that I was a gift from God on that occasion. And I said, actually, Dorothy, the name Dorothy means gift from God, and that's my wife. And so I'm just a humble servant. But anyway, the point of it is that Dorothy, that little joke I said, or whatever it is, about it's like I have a sign on my back, if you need help, just ask. Because Dorothy mocks me at hotels where I'm sitting having breakfast and see somebody that's having problems with something, and I'll go over to get something near them and say, do you need help with that? And they do. And I help them figure it out. And it happens way too often. It happens in stores. It happens that I'm paying attention to people who are having trouble with something. And it's just the way I'm disposed. And as I think about that, and as I think about this passage here in Philippians chapter 2, it reminds me of our love languages. Have any of you read the book Five Languages of Love by Chapin, Chapman, something like that? Do you know the book? I've referenced it before here, but he's written a couple of very good books. The Four Seasons of Marriage is one, and Five Languages of Love is another. But the point of it is in this book, he basically describes five different orientations towards on how we give and receive love. And it's not necessarily the case that we receive love in the same way we give love. And the five languages that he states, there's one, there are some people that respond that are very affirming. That's their affirmation is the way they communicate love to another person. A second way is quality time. And I came to understand time when I read this book the first time, it struck me that this is why I've had difficulty understanding Dorothy. Certain aspects of Dorothy, not the essential ones, but no, this was the thing I couldn't understand with Dorothy is she didn't talk a lot. She'd talk when we were talking. It's not like she was shy ever to talk. But when it came to being in the house together in the evening, she felt no need to talk, especially if we'd had time to talk during the day. She was perfectly happy to sit quietly reading or working. And she even could be in another room, another part of the house, but knowing that we were in the house together was enough. That is not my love language. Has become, because we can actually now sit for 2 hours in the evening and barely say a word to each other, and we're only a few feet apart. I couldn't imagine that 40 years ago. It just drove me crazy, in fact, that we weren't talking, because in my family, we were all talk, always multiple people talking and talking over each other all the time. And that was just the way it was. So this notion of quality time, sharing a space together, whether you're talking or not, that was not a language I understood. So then, what acts of service? That's the next one. The other three are acts of service, physical touch, and receiving gifts. And the two primary gifts of mine are ways of communicating love are in gift giving and in acts of service. And so for me, I like if I'm in a room of strangers or a gathering or like at being there at conference, my tendency is to kind of stay back and just identify people who aren't talking, aren't visiting, aren't interacting, and go and talk with them or other things like that. I will go up and be not in a creepy way, but in a just available way. And often people will turn and start a conversation or will have something that they're trying to figure out. And being close by has opened them up. Even when Dorothy, that's the other part of it with Dorothy is even when you don't know where you're going, you find a way to help somebody find out where they're going, you know? Anyway. It's just part of being me. And the other thing is small gifts. I love to give little gifts. Unfortunately, Dorothy's not big into little gifts, but if she were, she'd get them all the time. Whereas I've kind of stopped on that. I tend to give gifts of my time, my energy, other resources, but I don't give the small gifts in quite the way I used to, because to me that was important because it felt like I was communicating that I valued a person And over the years, I've realized that there are a lot of people that don't receive love that way, you know. So I need to learn this thing of writing cards. In this context, this congregation, writing cards is an important way of communicating love, communicating. And text messaging is also part of that, I think. But I think cards carry a certain greater weight in this congregation than in certain other places. And then physical touch. I'm a very physical person. But, you know, in terms of safe boundaries and so forth, you've got to really watch who and how you touch people. Anyway, the contention that I am working toward or work towards, conclusion I reached with this in working on this passage, and the reason I chose this title is that we are called, you know, I said a service-driven life. And in a sense, I was thinking about acts of service in this. But what I really mean to say by it is that I think as people and as a congregation, we are called to draw on our love languages, in a sense, to carry out the ministry God has given us. So it's out of our ways of communicating love that God uses us to bring about, to sing into being the church, you know, sing a new church into being one in faith, love, and praise. So that, you know, when we think about a starting point, and the thing about this congregation, we're not starting, we've got a long history. But we are at a point where we're looking at, okay, now where do we move forward from here? Where do we want to be in another 5 years, 10 years? Do we want the doors to be closed or do we want the space to be filled? Do we want the space to be filled with a variety of ministries or do we want this to be a congregation like it was? You know, what is the vision that we have that compels us forward? What is the vision that we sense God is calling us in this place and at this time? I saw somebody had the Pathways magazine. Chris, this is the new edition of the Pathways magazine from Virginia Mennonite Conference, and it's on small congregations, big impact. And so Kevin Gertsen, the conference pastor, sort of harassed me into doing something. And so anyway, I ended up talking about cooking. And I didn't give the title Through Crisis and Beyond. Nor did I give the title God Has Guided Warwick River Mennonite Church Through Crisis and Beyond. That they did. And but anyway, there's a nice little article about Warwick River that I put together, and I used a cooking analogy to talk about how in cooking the two main variables are time and temperature, you know. So you've got all these different ingredients and you put them together in different ways. But to get it to turn out well, you have to play with time and temperature. And certain things take high temperature and a short time. Other things take a low temperature and a long time. And then you've got all the different ingredients and how they're brought together. And so you have to do things differently. If you want all the green beans to be green still and not bleached out, well, just put them in small bits at a time at a higher temperature and put them into a dish and keep them warm and so forth, and they'll all be evenly done. So there are different ways to manipulate time and temperature to end up with a good outcome. And so I kind of make an analogy with that as to what is happening and to saying that, we don't necessarily know what this is going to look like. But what we do know is that we have a bunch of different ingredients that are coming together over time, and we're adding them to the pot, and there will be others that get added, and so on and so forth. But what we do know is that God is the chef. I don't know if anybody ever has referred to God as the great, you got the great healer, all these other things, but what's that? Well, the great baker, then, not the chef. This is a chef, So anyway, that in this particular, my own growing vision, and I'm already past my time here, but when I come, I'll jump ahead, jump to the end. The thing that was fabulous to me, I've never been thrilled. I've never attended once Indiana Michigan Conference. That's where my credentials have been for over 30 years. I've met with lots of people from the conference, but I've never gone to the actual conference once. And since I've been here and in this role, well, with Mission Network, I attended other conferences all the time. But here in this role as pastor here, I've been attending at least 60%, 70% of the conventions, conferences. And a year and a half ago, Steve Pardini, who was the sort of conference council chair, he made the radical statement that I brought back here that same weekend. He said that we are not suspending all the bylaws. What we are doing is we are simply saying that we are not in a position to fulfill the bylaws expectation here. But that's where we're working towards. And we're giving ourselves a year and a half. So this was the conclusion this week was the conclusion of that year and a half. So Steve Pardini then put himself in the position of both the conference chair, which he already was, and the moderator. So he was bringing those two roles together in his person, and he fulfilled those roles and just finished with that. And that was, for me, the most hopeful thing I had heard in the conferences I had been to. Because, Jim Hershberger, he writes one of the articles for what, his congregation in there, and he gave what I felt like it was a disastrous presentation at when he was elected. And I left that thing and I said, I don't know if I have any value for this conference at all. If they're choosing a person with that kind of mentality for the chair, I had major issues. And anyway, it ended up that his tenure lasted all of 2 months. The secretary left and then he left. And it wasn't really abuse of power or anything like that, but it was a crisis. And then who comes on board but Sarah Wenger Shank? And she served for about a year before Steve Pardini took over. And anyway, the point of it is that now we're in a kind of bizarre position as a conference, but we've developed a tolerance for a certain fluidity. And so what the situation now is that Dave King is, I think it's Dave King. I think his first name's David. But anyway, he is going to be interim conference moderator, and the Gifts Discernment Committee has the next 6 months to work on finding a moderator, even though that committee has already interviewed 40 people. So they started with a list of women, and then they started, then they had a list of men, and they did lots of interviews. And even when they asked people to stand up to that role, they said, no, I'm not willing. So even though they did their job, it still didn't come out with a moderator. And so and now I'm on that committee, the Gifts Discernment Committee. So anyway, the point of it is just to say that the conference over time has learned to figure out a way to live together, having that same mind, the same love, and being in accord and one love and one mind and so forth. That it's not that that means there's no division. There are certainly clear divisions within the conference. But the thing that's different, I would say that in the first couple conferences that I went to, I found some things that I felt were very alarming. And what were they? Because of my need help sign on my back, I'd have people come up to me and say they didn't know who I was, shake their, and we talk a little bit. And then pretty soon they'd quickly see which side I was on. They'd try to figure out, where does this guy position himself in relation to what I value and so on and so forth. But I felt like I walked away from those early conferences feeling nothing but division. And they were hemorrhaging congregations. So to come away from this convention or conference with people talking and agreeing on a somewhat ambiguous set of propositions and some empty spaces, empty positions, but they walked away at peace. Why? Because they've grown in trust of the leadership. And so for me, that's a very hopeful sign. I would say we're no longer in the context of a conference that feels like it's tearing apart. And so I thank God for that. And so to me, I'll reread the words. If there then there's any comfort in Christ, any consolation from love, any partnership in the Spirit, any tender affection and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or empty conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each one of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. And that's what I feel is a reality. I've always felt it in terms of this congregation, but I feel like we're getting there at the level of our conference as well, that people accept differences in a way that they weren't 4 years ago. And here, I think we've stabilized in a lot of ways, and we're at a place where as I say most every Sunday, I am just delighted and so happy to be with you, because I think you're a pretty fabulous bunch. And I look forward to seeing how it is that God finishes the meal.